This morning's reading is Mary's song, taken from Luke 1, verses 46 through 55. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Lizette. I'm going to invite Sophie up. Sophie is such a blessing to this church, her heart and her worship. And so who else can speak on Mary's song and worship than Sophie? So I'm going to pray for you and pray for us. No pressure, don't worry. Father, thank you for Sophie. Thank you for who she is. Thank you for her heart that loves you. And Father, I pray for each one of us this morning that we would hear what it is that you have to say to us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Morning, everyone. It's lovely to see you all. Thanks for having me back. Not that you have much choice. Sorry about that. Before we look into this song, I wanted to just start with a quick summary of what has happened to Mary so far in this gospel. The angel Gabriel has visited her. She is told that she has found favor with the Lord and that the Lord is with her. And by the Holy Spirit, she will conceive and give birth to a son who shall be named Jesus. He will be the Son of God. Mary is a teenage girl, unmarried, engaged to a man who takes a while to come round to this news, and is in a society where her situation is an absolute no-go. Imagine the fear, the pain, the rejection that she has potential to feel and experience. And yet, she declares this prayer of praise, one of the most faith-filled, hopeful, devotingly loving prayers or songs of praise that she could ever utter in her current situation. In verse 47, she says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." She adores her Lord, of that there is no doubt. And in this song, isn't it just such a beautiful little snippet into the intimacy of her relationship with her Father in heaven? In verse 49, she says, "The Mighty One has done great things for me." She sees with eyes of faith. Mary cannot know what the future will bring, yet has total confidence that the Lord has done great things for me. She is able to look back on her knowledge of who the Lord has been for her and be completely confident and trusting that the future will be okay. It was enough for Mary to know who God was, who her baby was going to be, in order to trust and to praise him. So this morning, I wanted to focus on two particular ways in which Mary's prayer sets an example for how to respond to and communicate with God. Firstly, Mary praised God because she discovered God's character, who he was and is for herself. And secondly, Mary praised God because of what he had done for her and for those before her. So looking more at that first point, Mary praised God because she discovered God's character, who he was and is for herself. We can all too easily look at Mary's experience of God and think that is in no way relatable to me. How is that relevant to my life? How do I learn from that? And yet, while my life, your life, Mary's life are all completely different, the God is the same. The God is the same. Our stories are all completely different, and yet the author is the same. So who do you know God to be for you personally? Not just what you've heard people say from the front or your friends say, but who do you know him to be in your own life? In verse 48, we see that Mary's experience is that he has been mindful of her, that he is a God who cares for each individual. Of course, often our answer to that question, who do I know God to be, is as a result of our own experiences, isn't it? Or of the experiences we see friends or people around us going through and seeing how God has worked in us or through them. I wanted to share a story this morning about some friends of mine who had a baby back in July. This baby was 4 months premature. He was tiny and so poorly. And obviously everything medically speaking, we would look at that and we would say, how imperfect is that? That is by no way the timing that we biologically, humanly would say is right. And yet a few weeks ago, he finally went to his parents' home on his due date. Crazy that he was born in the summer and he's just had his due date. But he has gone home safe and well. And more than that, after he was born, they found out that actually, medically speaking, which I don't understand, if he had remained in his mother's womb for those extra 4 months, he wouldn't have survived. And so in every way, humanly speaking, we see that there is nothing perfect about that story, other than now he's safe and well, praise the Lord. But actually, there is so much perfect about that story. And from hearing that from my friends, that was a moment where I just thought, that's a huge thing I've just learned from the Lord. Obviously, I've learned it before, but you relearn it, don't you? That actually, wow, he is so perfect. His timing is perfect. And isn't good news such a natural springboard to praise? That you hear those stories, whether they're in your own life or in others' lives, that just make you want to overflow and bubble in love and praise of the Lord. And so my challenge that I felt was for all of us this morning is to ask ourselves, am I moved? Am I emotionally moved by the understanding of who God is and what he has done for me? Or do I sometimes take it for granted? I know that there are so many times when I will go to the Lord and just list off all these things that are either wrong or that I really need help with, and just completely take for granted all that stuff that I have to be praising him for, that I have to love him for. Of course, there's nothing wrong in asking him for help, but let's also remember to praise him. To take a leaf out of Mary's book, that in her situation that had so many unknowns, that had so, it just had such a lack of answers, she could still praise like this. That she could still love and devote herself to the Lord like this. We see in both what those unique moments in our own lives and in others' lives, what God has done for us. But we also see it in what he has done for all of humanity as we read in Scripture, that God has sent his Son to be born, to die and to rise again so that we can be reconciled with our Heavenly Father. I mean, that's something to praise him for, isn't it? That's something to love him for. Even if we can't find those unique moments straight away in our own lives, we know that big picture thing that is also so true for each of us as individuals here. I want to encourage you that if you are unsure this morning how to answer that question, how to say who God is for you or what he has done for you, to take a moment to ask someone else, what's he done for them? What has their experience of God been? Or to pray, to ask the Lord to reveal to you what he has done for you, how he has worked in you, or ask someone else to pray with you if that just feels like too much on your own. It's so worth it. With the potential of entering such intimacy with the Lord as we see Mary had. That's something the Lord desires to have with each of his children on earth. Such a loving, devoted relationship. It's something for each of us. I wanted to close this morning just with some lyrics from one of my favorite Christmas songs. And it goes like this. Come and see the inconceivable and believe the unbelievable. God has come to dwell with us. Begotten Son, born into Adam's earth, promised one, fulfilling ancient words. God has come to dwell with us. That's the truth. Mary didn't know that that was going to happen, but we can know that that has happened. So we can actually stand in, theoretically, an even more trusting place than she did. She didn't know what was going to happen in the story of her son as it unraveled on earth, but we can know through the generosity of our Lord. We can know that. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you came to dwell with us. Thank you that your desire for us is to have a loving relationship with you. We thank you for this example that Mary praised you because she knew who you were. And she knew what you had done, both for her and for others. And Father, we pray that in this moment and on into this week, we would grow in our confidence in declaring that truth over our lives. That we know who you are. We know what you have done for us. And Father, if we are just not certain how to answer that question, I pray that you would bring such clarity to our thoughts and such wonderful conversations with those around us as we exchange our own experiences of who you are and of what you have done for us. In your precious name, I pray. Amen.